Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this conference on Nokian Tyres Q1 results. Here in Helsinki, we have analyst, media, and investors present, and hopefully quite a lot of people participating here through in the conference. Before we start, could everybody here in Helsinki switch off your mobile phones just in order to make sure that we don't have any problems with the conference technical side. In my presentation, I will start by talking a little bit about the market, the tire market in Europe and Russia, and also comment a little about the pricing environment in which we live at the moment. Then we'll move on to a summary of the Q1 results and the outlook for this year. I'll of course be commenting on things like raw materials and also how we see the business developing in our different profit centers, and spend quite a lot of time talking about Russia, how we see the market developing, how we see the competitive landscape and so on. Let's start by a couple of comments. We'll go to page three in the presentation. By the way, the presentation has been published on our website this morning, so I'll be referring to that by page when moving forward. Comments on the market. We wrote in our stock exchange release that there's quite a lot of headwind during the beginning of the year, and we don't foresee the market to be easy during this year. Of course, everybody knows that the economy in Central Europe has been quite weak, with GDP 0%-1%, and also all the different indicators for the economy being quite slow. This has had quite an adverse effect on the drivers for tire business. Car sales in Europe has declined quite dramatically during the first quarter. But not only in Central Europe, also the Scandinavian market has seen a market drop compared to last year of a total of 22% less new cars being sold in the Scandinavian market. And also the growth in Russia has been a bit slower than before. The tire market totally in Europe, when talking about the industry selling into the distribution, was down 9.8% compared to last year. And winter tires was down, if we take the total European, Central European and Nordic scene, 33%. So quite a drop compared to the previous year. Having said that, the base against which we measure the market was unusually high during last year's Q1, and was then normalized. And during this year, the market has been negatively affected by the fact that a long winter has prolonged the winter tire season, and also winter tire inventories with wholesale in Central Europe has been going out to retail and consumers, and which has cut the volumes in the sell-in from the industry. So the environment has been, let's say, challenging. We expect the market to start to improve with the summer tire business kicking in during Q2. We've already seen quite an improvement in the consumer business during the start of Q2, and we expect the year to start to develop more favorably, especially with the new winter tire range being launched and coming on stream when going forward. So against this background, we had a drop in sales and EBIT compared to the previous year, which was pretty much in line with which we had expected ourselves. We booked sales of 331 million, down 13% compared to the previous year, and then EBIT also roughly 77 million. We estimate ourselves that in the ballpark of 7 to 8 million of EBIT was transferred or not made in Q1, which will come on stream during Q2. So there was a shift of both sales and EBIT, especially in Vianor, as the start didn't start at all, but also in the passenger car division. And so I think that's a summary of it. The positive things about the beginning of the year was that we continued to grow in Russia, and we sold quite a lot more winter tires compared to last year. The mix was slightly different, as we were selling more Nordman than Hakka Velitas, because we are now waiting for the premium tires to come on stream during Q2. The second positive thing that was that despite the fact that pricing has been depressed in all markets, we managed to show a flat ASP during Q1. In fact, when looking at euros per kilo, there was a slight increase of roughly 1% in PC1, which is the car and van tire division. Okay, but we'll come back to all of these. And when looking at the visibility for this year and what we estimate, you could say that the visibility is not specifically good, as nobody knows exactly how the market in Central Europe is going to develop during this year. But despite that, we can see quite a lot of opportunities for the company and continue to guide an improved top line and also an improved EBIT for the full year. If we then turn to page 7 in our presentation, where we have the quarterly EBIT generation, and as usual, I will be making some comments quarter by quarter on how we see the market, our production, and various timings kicking in during this year. We said when we released the numbers after full year in February that we expect the first quarter to be weaker than last year. And also we state that it's going to be slightly better than in 2011. That happened. It was slightly weaker than we expected, and due to the delays in Central Europe and the prolonged winter. Traditionally, Q1 has been our weakest quarter. When we look historically at the development of business, Q1 is normally the weakest. Then we see quite an improvement in Q2, a good Q3, and then a improved Q4. And we expect the distribution of this year EBIT to be pretty much in line what we saw in 2011. That would indicate that we will see an improvement in Q2, an improvement in Q3, and in Q4 compared to previous year. And again, it's very difficult to know exactly how much of EBIT we have made so far or full year, as it's still early days. But I would estimate that the first half of the year will this year represent in the ballpark of between 43% to 45% of total EBIT generation, and the second half 55+ of the total. When looking at the pricing, we expect the full year pricing to also to be flat in line with the first quarter. There is, as I stated, price reductions in the marketplace, especially in North America, in Central Europe, and also some in Nordic countries. We've seen the summer tire prices being reduced along what we estimated earlier in the ballpark of 3%. In Russia, we have not seen price reductions in summer or winter tires. So the pricing environment in Russia has been intact. And when I'll come back to this, but when looking at raw materials, we expect those to decline, which means that depending then on what happens with the pricing, we have an opportunity to improve the margin for each tire we make when looking at the raw material margin. Then volumes and as such during Q1, we were forced, because of the weak Central European market, to cut production in the Finnish plant. We were running Russia 11 lines, and Finland, we had like 3 weeks of production stops during Q1, which means that we produced slightly less in Q1 than during last year. When going into Q2, we are running. We started already with 12 lines running. We manned or started the new line 12 into production in March, and we will follow up with the line 13, which is presently in installation. You could say that 80% of the 13th line is already in place in the Russian plant. And in the Finnish plant, we expect to be back mid-May to 5 days working, and then continuing with that production scheme when going forward. Of our total production volumes, we expect an increase compared to last year. We made 15.8 million tires last year, and we, in our wording, stated that we expect flat to some growth in the top line, which is a change to some. And some people have already been asking me, what does flat to some mean? In our previous conference, I stated that some is something between 5 and 15. Well, flat to some is flat sum. And flat sum means something which is lower than some. I don't know how you will interpret this, but I would, if I would be an analyst, read it as 0 to 7. So you have to make up your mind yourself. It's very difficult with this visibility and like economy moving in an unknown direction during the second half to state exactly what we think. When looking at markets, let's move on to the next page, which is page 8, where we have the distribution. I'm not actually making anything here, so we'll in presentation. Nobody said anything, so you're just listening. Okay, it's like in church or school. Fine. So we'll go to this was the page I was talking about previously, 7, and then we'll go to page 8, where we have the distribution geographically. And as you can see, Russia represented a total of more than 50% of top line in Q1. Which is pretty much quite normal. We have summer tire sales and then quite a lot of winter tire sales in Russia, whereas the rest of the market is pretty flat. We're looking at the full year, and what we estimate is that the Nordic countries will recover the minus in sales and in the marketplace, which is pretty much the same as our drop in sales, we believe is more than anything a seasonal thing and timing effect of the summer tires being delayed. And that will kick in from Q2. We expect the winter tire market to be flat to some growth. And we expect our own like sales in Scandinavia to be flat to some growth. And the reason is basically that despite the fact that we are having a lot of new products, the car sales is quite a lot down, and of course one of the drivers in the Scandinavian market is sales of new cars. So even flat market means flat sales in Scandinavia means winning some market share with the new products and utilizing the Vianor distribution chain. Russia as a market, we feel is going to have some growth, driven mainly by the replacement market, not that much by growth in car sales. There is going to be some growth in car sales, but nothing dramatic. And when looking at the different product groups, we already know that summer tire sales in Russia this year is going to be flat, so all the growth is going to be in the winter segment. We estimate that we will have a growth. We are not seeing a clear growth, which would be 20%, but perhaps some growth. which again is the 5 to 15. And other Europe, we also believe is going to kick back when we estimated that the full replacement market is going to be 0 to 2% growth during this year. I think that estimate can be a bit optimistic when looking at the total year, and also in selling a flat volume in Central Europe means that we have to utilize the new products and the distribution and gain some market share. North America is a timing issue. We are estimating quite healthy growth in North America for this year in sales. Then we'll move on to raw materials, and this time I remember also to like change the slide here so that we can follow. The whole tire industry is enjoying tailwind from raw materials being down during this year, and of course depending on what time or long-term contracts are made by the companies, it varies a bit company to company. We had a decrease during the first quarter of roughly 8%, so we enjoyed already some tailwind during the first quarter of the year. We've changed our guidance from 4 to 6% for the full year, and we've increased the total number on tailwind or support by raw materials to roughly 30 million euros. This means that when looking at, again, the like dynamics of making margin and pricing, it means that if we are able to maintain or improve ASP, we will see the margin improving on after raw materials. And the 30 million of tailwind is equal to an ASP drop of 2%. So even if our ASP would drop 2% during this year, which we don't think it's going to do, we would still have the same material margin as during previous year. This is, of course, assuming flat volume. So depending on volume, the total margin will change. Then is this a positive or negative like estimate? I would say that this is a fairly cautious still, despite the fact that we've increased from 4 to 6. When looking at some of our competitors, they have been indicating double-digit changes in raw materials. Then the total impact on our business, as our model is quite different to many of our main competitors, raw materials represent today of total production cost in the ballpark of 66%. And we're looking at top line, it represents about 25%. So any change in these elements and ASP, of course, are quite have a big impact on the numbers for the full year. We believe that we've entered a period of raw materials being down full year during this year and also for a slightly longer period. Then we'll move on further to some comments on the profit centers. On page 11, we have the total distribution of sales and EBIT by the company. And as you can see, we made more operating profit in our passenger car tires than the total group, which is quite normal during the first quarter, as in Vianor we practically always lose money during the first quarter as there is very little sales, but the structure, rents and manning is there. And in fact, like as I said, 7 to 8 million of profit shifted and I would say that roughly half of that relating to consumer business in Vianor. Then a couple of comments on passenger car tires and points I have not stated yet is that the volume sales in passenger car tires, which was in the ballpark of slightly less than 400,000 tires compared to previous year, related basically to three things. More than half of that was related to us stopping contract manufacturing to our biggest owner, Bridgestone. We traditionally, during previous year, we have made always in Q1 a slot of winter tires. We stopped producing those during this year. It has nothing to do with Q2, Q3, or Q3, so you should not project the top line going forward. It has a one-off like result and sales effect on Q1. The rest is relating to Central European winter and the prolonged summer tires. And again, when looking then at the estimate for this year, we are looking at improving sales, producing both in volume, especially more volume, and back on lower raw material and higher volumes, making more profit in this most important segment of our business. Then a couple of comments on the drivers and the elements in that business. First of all, our product range in our passenger car business is, in my opinion, the best we've ever had. We have been scoring quite a lot of test results. Our both summer and winter tire ranges have been renewed. This year, with the new launch of winter tires, more than 70% of all the tires we are offering are totally new. And we have been scoring quite good results already during this year with the new summer tire, and I expect to score fantastic wins with the new winter tire range when they are published later during this year. On page 14, there is the new winter tire range. I was already bragging during the launch about the reactions from our distributors, and so I won't repeat the good stories. I'm very tempted to do so, but that would drag on, and of course it would take more than an hour just to tell the good stories about how excited our distributors are with the new tires. I think that the most important thing really about the new launch is really about ASP. The fact that through this we are able to demonstrate that we are on top in technology terms, and also we are able to win the test magazine tests, which again gives the distributors confidence to keep the price leader position, which we have in our core markets. Then we'll move on to the biggest market area where we made half of our sales and more than half of our profits, which is Russia. So from page 15 on, there is a couple of slides concerning Russia, CIS, and also some of the drivers for the market, looking at GDP development, market in general, car sales, and specifically how we see tire business and the different segments developing. But making a long story short, and looking at the Russian economy today. Of course, everybody knows that the Russian economy has slowed down since the beginning of last year, gradually, from GDP growth, gradually to 3, and during Q1, GDP in Russia was growing at an estimated 1%. The Russian government changed their estimate for full year of this year down from more than 3% to 2.7%. And of course, the decisive factors in the Russian economy, as everybody knows, are for GDP is revenue on oil prices, and secondly, what is happening with consumer confidence and consumer spending. So we'll have to wait and see if 2.7 is intact later on, or whether we are going to see an improvement or a decline. In our opinion, the driver for that will pretty much be what is happening with interest rates. When looking at consumer durables in Russia, sales of flats, sales of cars, sales of consumer electronics, they're all subject, the big sales differences are subject to changes in financing and the cost of the financing. Presently, the interest rates since mid-year last year interest rates have actually gone up. So the effective like consumer rate, which is paid today for these consumer goods, are 12 plus. We feel that a driver for car sales is somewhere around 11 or more or less. So part of the reason that the car sales has like started to show slower growth during end of last year and beginning of this year relates directly or indirectly to the cost of financing totally. And when looking at then the car sales development during this year, last year there was a total of 2.9 million cars sold in Russia. All of them come with summer tires, are by winter tires, so it's a big driver for our business. Our estimate for full year has not changed. So we're still estimating 3.1 million of SARS cars being registered, which is a slight improvement compared to last year, and also slightly more than the car industry is estimating. The effect on the tire market, we see, as I said already, as flat to some growth, with all the growth during this year being generated by winter tires. And as we are market leaders in both, not only, as it states on this slide, market leading in premium tires in Russia, we are in fact now a market leader also in the mid-segment. So we are leaders in the premium with Nokian Hakka and Hakka Pelita, and also market leader in the mid-segment with Nokian Nordman range. We had a quite good start for the year and showed same sales practically as last year, roughly a small improvement of roughly 3%. One indicator which is perhaps interesting to know, and this is not published anywhere, so take it from me. This is that Russia, we're joining WTO, made a decision to gradually reduce the duties for tires from 20% to 10%. This year was supposed to be 18. So far, this has not happened. In fact, like importing tires to Russia has become more expensive. Last week, duty was still 20%, and there was a couple of new fees coming in. So the speculation about what is going to happen to duty has got a new element. We'll have to wait and see what happens during this year. We still believe that it's going to change in line with the decisions, but let's wait and see. So far, it has not happened. Okay, then we'll move on to distribution and what we've done with that. We have presently, I've been stating that the driver for our growth and also our position as market leader is very much linked to how we develop our distribution and retail. There is also some new information on this slide 16. People have, during previous conferences, been asking about, okay, how much of your total sales go through Vianor? How much go through other points and how much go through car dealers? So we decided that, okay, especially there is an Italian company who published that they are going to have 800 shops and blah, 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 developed by together with a petrol-like chain. We wanted to show where we are today. So we have presently 556 Vianor shops in roughly 330 cities in Russia CIS. We added to that number during the beginning of the year. The total number of points of sales which we've contracted and who are part of the so-called Hakka Guarantee Program is more than 2,300 today. That includes Vianors, independent like retailers and car shops. So that is the structure we are operating with today, and of course it's expanding as we move forward. Then we haven't been talking too much, slide 17, about Ukraine, which is now back on a growth track. We had, due to the financial difficulties in Ukraine, a couple of slower years, and in fact like our sales declined a bit during last year as we decided not to allocate too much business there. Now we are back on track and we are targeting clear growth in Ukraine during this year. In Ukraine we have presently 140 Vianor shops, so we've added about 20 since last year to the structure, and also like opening more shops in Belarus and the rest of CIS. So we're looking at Russia, we are estimating growth. We're looking at CIS as a package, both Ukraine and the other countries in CIS, we're looking for growth during 2013. Right, then a couple of words about the capacity and the factory in Russia and what we're doing there. I already mentioned about the lines, line 12 being on stream, and then line 13 being in installation at the moment. Some people might ask, well, why the hell are you like building more capacity in this situation? Okay, well, it's in a way very simple. There's three reasons. The first one is the world is cyclical. We expect the Russian market to go back to growth mode, and we have to be ready when it happens. The second is, and of course we are balancing like the total utilization of capacity with the finished part. The second point is that input costs go down. 80% of this year's production, of our total production, will be produced in Russia, and slightly less than 20% in the finished plant. And as you may remember, we've stated many times that producing one tire in Russia is roughly 10 euros per tire cheaper than in the finished factory. Now, with the new lines coming into the new plant, which we opened last year, that is even more like decisive. In fact, production cost in the new plant, where productivity per line is 50% higher than in the Russian plant previously, which already was one of the top factories in Russia, we are able to reduce the production cost and improve productivity. So it is not only a question of volumes, it's also a question of productivity issues. The third important factor is, in fact, then the tax. As with the new plant, we made and ratified a new incentive scheme, which became effective beginning of this year with the Russian authorities, which will prolong our tax incentives in Russia for the next 8 to 9 years, which means that the new investment in the new plant offers us growth potential, lower input cost, higher productivity, also higher technology with best products being produced, in combination with quite low tax. So our tax on group level we estimate to be 17% or less during the next 5 years. In fact, it was less than 13 during Q1 during this year, as most of the profits were made in the Russian plant where the tax is very low. Okay, that's perhaps enough about the Russian plant. With the 13th line coming in during this year, it means that by end of this year we'll have a capacity in our hands in the Russian plant of roughly 15 to 16 million, depending on how we utilize it. Okay, then also the total capex which we put into the Russian plant is now more than 700 million in the Russian operation. And as an anecdote, I can tell you that during the last 2 years, we've taken significantly more out in dividends than those 700 million. So it's already fully paid for we're looking at on group level. Okay, then I'll pass the market information all the way to the tire market slide, which is on slide 21. We have an estimate for the Russian tire market and that developing. In fact, it has been, again, before somebody asks, updated. This year upwards a bit, as we see the value increasing slightly more than before. The numbers in volume terms are the same, but value has changed. Our position in here is that in the so-called A segment, we are market leaders. Our market share in winter tires is more than 35%, so we are clear leaders, both in volume terms and pricing. In Nordman, in the B segment, we are now also market leaders with a market share of more than 25% totally when combining summer and winter, and we have now the leadership in both A and B. In the C segment, which is now gradually like coming up also in price terms, we are looking and looking into that and looking at, okay, what would it give us if we go in? You could say that, like, when we look at the Russian profitability, it's some analysts have been saying, okay, 40 to 50% EBIT, that's correct, okay, fine. What would it take, and how much would we make profit if we go to the C segment? Well, the present estimate that if we do that on EBIT level, it would be around 20%. So it's not that bad. So we are considering it, and like, time will tell whether we enter that as well or whether we stick to the two-tier-like approach which we have at the moment. But let's put this way, that it's a tempting idea. All right, then a couple of words about Vianor. I already stated about the prolonged winter and the EBIT going forward. We are looking for the full year to improve clearly the operation. We are looking at improving EBIT in Q2 significantly compared to we made a loss of 15 million in the first quarter, and we're looking at making a clearly better result in Q2, which also is clearly better than our result in Q2 last year because of the timing effect. And, of course, Vianor's main role is to build a distribution chain for us. I already showed the map for Russia. I'll go to page 23, where we have the full map. We are now operating. We added during the first quarter 40 shops into the structure, which means that we did, how many is it now then? About 2 to 3 shops every week, again, which is a normal speed of expansion. And we operate now in 26 countries. The full estimate for this year for the Vianor shops is in the ballpark of 1,150 to 200 shops by end of this year. And also, we last year started talking about a softer franchise model being introduced alongside Vianor, which we also have already done. It is aimed at slightly smaller shops with the Nokian colors, not utilizing Vianor, but we call it NAD, which is short for Nokian Authorized Dealer. There is a concept of each shop has a minimum requirement of selling more than 1,000 Nokian tires each year. And during the first quarter of this year, after rolling it out, we have already contracted 175 stores, mainly in Germany and Italy, and we managed to open 58 shops during the first quarter. So in total, we're looking at the first quarter, we added 40 Vianors and 58 NADs to the structure. And of course, this is in line with our strategy, which is to try to interact as close directly with the consumer, bypassing, if possible, big wholesalers, which means that we're able through this to create a market position which is sustainable and also control the pricing and the working capital better than by operating through middlemen. All right, so that continues on page 24. You see a typical concept for NAD and what it looks like in different shops. Then a couple of words about our smaller profit centers and where we are heading with those. Our heavy tires, which is mainly producing forestry, mining, and harbor tires, is not fully utilized in capacity terms. The market has been fairly weak. Our utilization rate of capacity at the moment is in the ballpark of 65%, but we managed still to make an EBIT margin of roughly 10% with this low operation model. We don't expect any miracles to happen during this year. Market is going to remain fairly like soft during this year. And our own estimate is that top line will change very little compared to last year, and that we are going to, in broad terms, make the same accumulation of EBIT as we did during last year. It the EBIT margin might improve a little bit based on raw materials going down, but we'll have to wait and see for the full verdict. Truck and bus, I normally pass. I don't know why, because it's a very, like, lucrative business. It's still quite small, about 1%, but in fact, it's making double-digit EBITs and improving each year, showing quite healthy returns on equity and net assets. When looking at return on net assets, is in fact our best business. Okay, but unfortunately, still quite small. Right, then a couple of words about CapEx going forward and cash flows. Of course, we are targeting to like make a healthy cash flow, better than last year. And part of that is that we are investing less and completing all the projects which we started already during last year. Our estimate for this year's investment is 144 million, more than 83 million of that going to the new lines and the development of the Russian flag factory. The plant in Nokia will also get some investment. The major part of that is, having said that, molds for new products, R&D issues, and then process development, ICT, and so on. And then we are going to buy a couple of shops in areas where we cannot find partners for Vianor. So ballpark 10 million used for that. When then making, what is the spreadsheet going to look like then after this year? So we previously were talking about a factory in Central Europe, in Serbia or Poland. I was already stating that we've done almost a contract in Serbia where there is very good terms offered. That project is still on ice. We're not going to start during this year. And in the best case, if markets start to grow again, we will start building something during 2014. But having said that, would be still initial phases. So I would say that for 2014, the estimate for CapEx is in the ballpark of 100 to 120 million. And even if we start a new factory and building it, our CapEx would still, on an annual basis, be between 100 and 150 million. So let's estimate rapidly that I think analysts are expecting more than 500 million of EBITDA, slightly more working capital. 100 million in CapEx should leave us with quite healthy like cash flows going forward during this year and also when moving on during the next couple of years. We've stated, I think, the most important things on page 29 on factories. I think that the message relating to the new factory is really that with the existing two factories, we have still a capability of increasing our output by 50%. That is building, completing the Russian plant and taking Finland back up to full capacity. So we will have to like weigh cash flow against like returns and opportunities later on then when considering the third factory. Okay, then last page before we go into Q&A, I've already stated all the facts. We expect flat pricing, improved volume, and a slight improvement in Vianor, which means that on a total level, all that sums up to slightly improved top line and also some improvement in EBIT. So time will tell. Visibility for CE for end of the year is still cloudy, but we are quite like hopeful when we're looking at our home markets being as driver for profitability for this year as well. Okay, I'll stop here and then we'll go to Q&A. We'll start with people present here in Helsinki. And as usual, please state your name and the company you're working for before asking the question and then we'll see where we go. Okay, Tom Skogman, I think, is the first one.
Yes, this is Tom Skogman from Handelsbanken. Bridgestone left your board and they're opening a factory in Russia. Does this mean also that they stop manufacturing truck tires to you? And also on a note there, all these production ramp-ups in Russia going on at the moment, how big part of that do you see going into the replacement market in terms of tires?
Okay. Well, let's take the Bridgestone part first of all as well. There is no dramatic things happening with Bridgestone. First of all, we've just signed end of last year a contract, them producing truck tires for us for a foreseeable future, for many years to come. And then there's been speculation about what they are going to do with their shares and so on. Well, in fact, I'm the wrong person to give you any answers, but we haven't seen any signs of anything unusual happening. Expansion of capacity in Russia, again, as I stated before, we don't see that to be any big problem as such when, first of all, addressing the total market and then specifically our expansion. Of the total estimated volume in Russia, roughly 41, 42 million replacement has been sold in the marketplace. Roughly half, more than 20 million, is the so-called C segment, which is disappearing. So we have a 20 million gap, if you like, with old capacity that has to be rebuilt. When looking at the different projects which have been published, we have Yokohama having a capacity of 1.5 to 2 million. We have Michelin with 1.5 to 2 million. And then we have Continental with roughly 4 million in the first phase. That is not more than 8 million. So that doesn't even replace the old capacity that needs to be replaced. So I don't see that to be a big problem. The Bridgestone factory is based on public information, going to be started in 2016. So it won't have any effect on the marketplace in Russia during a couple of years. By the way, the starting point when we look at it, if you combine the volumes of Michelin, Goodyear, Continental, and Pirelli, those are roughly the same volumes as which we sell in Russia. Roughly the same. So that is the market picture. Okay, and then our capacity, roughly half of our capacity in Russia is exported to mainly to Central Europe and other CIS countries and North America. And we see that to continue for the next couple of years. Then if and when the Russian market starts to grow again, we have to address the Central European question, which means that is when we will then start ramping up a factory in the Eastern European countries. So the third factory situation and decision is related to the growth of the marketplace in Russia and how much of the capacity in the Russian plant is utilized for specifically for that market. I hope that answers your question. Okay. Any other questions? Did you have something else on that? Could you please show that to everybody?
I just wonder if you have any clear insight into. I mean, it's quite typical that Continental follows German car manufacturers and Bridgestone Japanese car manufacturers. Do you have any visibility into how much will go really into the replacement market of the new volumes coming in?
Well, again, I would have to be clairvoyant in order to be able to see to their contracts. But rumor states that part of the French company's volumes go to OE, which is a factory 800 meters from our gate. We are not involved in that because there's no profits in it. And then we know that the German company is building their plant very close to the Volkswagen plant in Kaluga. So that might indicate something. And the Yokohama factory is purely replacing imports to the replacement market. and basically like avoiding duty. Yeah, I think he's writing, so we'll let somebody else ask a question meanwhile. Okay.
Kalle Karppinen, Danske Bank. Still on the Russian market, a couple of your biggest competitors are Japanese companies there. Do you see any pressure to pricing from the weaker Japanese yen? I know these two companies have historically been a little bit aggressive on pricing sometimes in Russia, so any indications of that now?
We haven't seen any price reductions by the Japanese companies in Russia. We've seen price reductions by the Japanese companies on other markets, following a French company initiating price reductions on most markets. So we've seen the Japanese following in Europe and also in North America, as have practically everybody in the industry. But when specifically talking about the Russian market, of course the Japanese brands are actually like competing mainly against our Nokia Nordman. So the tool for that is Nordman. In our case, we actually increased the price positioning and the pricing of Nordman last year by changing the branding from Nordman to Nokia Nordman. We made a price increase of more than 10%, which have been sticking quite well also during the beginning of this year. So in a way, we have like basically like different ball games. You have the premium league, if you like. There are the European, big European guys, us being a market leader and also price leader. Then we have the B league, where you have the Japanese bordering to the premium, us with Nokia Nordman, and then you have some Korean guys, and second tier brands of the European guys. And then you have at the bottom you have the Russian domestic guys, and some other like third tier global companies, Tigar, for instance, of Michelin, and a couple of, I think, Formula by Pirelli and so on. Cheaper brands operating in that segment. So you have, like, in a way, like different markets and different end-use segments which are addressed by different tools. The total package as such is such that the B segment in volume terms is growing most at the moment, which means that the total package is like in ASP terms coming down a bit. And that's what we've been foreseeing already for some time, that at some point we will see the change of like the pricing situation gradually in Russia. But so far, that's been our prediction for many years, but so far every year we've been increasing ASP. And so has the market. Okay, any more questions here in Helsinki? If not, then we'll move on to the lines, phone lines, and we'll open the questions from other countries.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone. To cancel your request, press the hash or pound key. Your first question comes from Gaetan Tolmond. Please announce your company and ask your question.
Good morning, it's Gaetan Tolmond from Deutsche Bank. I have a very short question. The first one, if I understand well, you were doing business or producing winter tire for Bridgestone up to 20 million in the first quarter, which will be non-recurrent in the future. So it was kind of a one-off, the non-recurrent of this 20 million in the first quarter. Is it correct?
Yes, it's a one-off. We made about 200,000 to 300,000 tires every year during Q1 for the last 10 years. And that is not going to be the case anymore.
Okay. And can we get an idea about the operating margin of those tires? Order of magnitude. Is it comparable to what you're making in Central Europe, as an example?
Let's put it this way, that it's been roughly the same as Nordman.
Okay. That's clear. You second question. You mentioned in... in your press release that you expect a weaker H1 operating profit compared to last year. We got the first quarter, but if I understood well, it looks like that the second quarter will be higher than last year. Is it correct?
That is what we estimate, yes.
Okay, that's perfect. Third point is, the last one, on the pricing side, did I understand well that you don't expect any negative pricing this year overall?
In fact, we estimate negative pricing on different markets, but that to be offset by a changing in mix. So higher share, as we say, flat on other markets, Russia growing, which means that as we have like a higher price in Russia, we estimate that will offset the reductions other markets, and that we'll see a flat ASP on group level.
Okay. So that means that you expect a very nice mix effect to compensate this negative pricing, correct?
Yes. Well, on this pricing issue, you know, Ketan, we've been discussing this with you a couple of times, and you remember what I told you?
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay. And the last question, you increased the fixed cost in the first quarter and using the explanation of higher depreciation, which is definitely recurrent in the next quarters, and higher marketing cost. This portion will be recurrent in the coming quarters, or it was one-off in the first quarter?
No, we had a massive launch, more than 1,000 people visiting Finnish Lapland during the first quarter. So you could say that depreciation is something that is, of course, we can't do anything about, but the marketing costs are pretty much done.
Okay. Thank you. I think it's pretty clear for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gaetan. Okay, next question, please.
Your next question comes from Erik Golrang. Please announce your company and ask your question.
Thank you. Erik Golrang with ABG Sundal Collier. Most of my questions were actually captured by the first questionnaire here, but I have three more just to clarify a bit. First one is on production in terms of tires per week in the first quarter, if you could specify that. And the second one, just so I understand it correctly here, on the Bridgestone contract manufacturing, was Q1 this year the last quarter to have seen it, or was it already out of your business in Q1 this year? Thank you.
Okay, well, the weekly production I won't comment this time. I'll come back to that after Q2. But it was slightly down compared to last year on total level as we stopped finished production for 3 weeks. And of course we then like increased it in March again, so it's going up in Q2 and Q3 in line with sales. The BS issue was no, we were not producing anything in Q1 in 2013. So when you compare 2012 and 2013, we had it in last year, but we did not have it this year. So it was part of the reduction of top line, and it's a one-off. Relating only to Q1, not Q2, Q3, and so on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Philip Watkins. Please announce your company and ask your question.
Oh, yes, good morning. Philip Watkins from Citi, and thanks for taking my questions. I wonder if I could just ask a couple more on pricing. In terms of Central Europe, maybe I heard this wrong, but I think you mentioned that pricing might be down around 3% or was down that much in Q1. Is that an indication of where pricing will stay for the remainder of the year?
Okay, well, the pricing which I stated is actually market price going down. There was already the price reduction started in Central Europe on summer tires already initiated by a big French company already in by end of last year. And the average prices have come down as a package between 3 and 5%, depending on the product range. More so specifically with the high-speed and ultra-high-performance summer tires and less so in the standard products. And our package has moved alongside in summer tires with the rest of the market.
And then just a second one, and I hear what you're saying about supply and demand in Russia, and even potentially a little bit of pricing pressure in the long term. I mean, do you think there's an incentive, though, for new players to cut prices quite aggressively? Because it must be cheaper for them to make tyres in Russia, and they could cut their pricing quite aggressively and keep their own margins steady.
Well,
how much of a risk is that?
Well, in a way, you have to remember that, first of all, in order to be able to sell to consumers, you have to have distribution. And so you have to have wholesalers, and you have to have, Russia is 9 time zones, so you have to have a structure. Wholesalers, your old inventories, and then you have to have a network of retailers. Winter tires are sold, 30% of all consumer business is done in 2 weeks. First snowfall, 2 weeks, 30% of consumer business, another 3 weeks, and that's the winter tire business done. Which means that retailers don't have a problem in selling winter tires. They have a one-off opportunity to sell to a consumer who comes in. And for a retailer, that is when he makes his money. He doesn't sell in August, he doesn't sell in June, he doesn't sell in July, he doesn't sell in May. He sells in part of March, part of April, a little bit the beginning of May, summer tires. Then he sells in after first snowfall, winter tires. And his margin and business profit is determined by that. So if you're the most important ingredient is for a tire manufacturer is loyalty, people keeping your tire on the shelf. And for the retailer, what they keep on the shelf is a tool to make money. If they start selling cheap tires, they will make less money. Retail today already is not a glorious business. Some of them are making losses, some are surviving, and some are making some money. So changing from an expensive tire into a cheap tire is suicide. And therefore, we don't see there to be a lot of price elasticity. If we would believe that, we would start selling very cheaply in Central Europe today and fill all our lines with product. That is not the case. So I don't see prices going down. There might be some people testing, especially in the low end, doing it. But the most important part is really the earning potential a tire manufacturer can create for the whole industry, including wholesalers and retailers.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Stefan Putin. Please announce your company and ask your question.
Hi, good morning. It's Stefan Putin from Goldman Sachs. Many thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on your cash flow, on your balance sheet. I mean, obviously, you pointed out that you expect continued strong cash flow, and you've obviously got a very healthy balance sheet. And I was just wondering if you could update us on what your dividend policy is and how much scope you see to return cash to shareholders. In that context, also in the past, you talked about some parts of the business being non-core. If you could let us know if there's any update on that area. And thirdly, I noticed on your website that there's a sentence which says that the president's retirement age is 60 years. And if I may ask you to give us a bit of an update on what sort of your plans are for the next couple of years, just to make sure that we are aware of any potential changes. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. So first of all, balance sheet, cash flow, and dividend. Officially, we state more than 35%. We paid more than 50% of net earnings during the last 3 years. And going forward, our policy has been to not to grow by M&A. There is nothing of interest to buy, which means that we would give it to as dividend to owners. If we start to sit on a pile of cash because of operational results and cash flow or capitalizing part of our business, we will give it to owners. We will not utilize it for any stupid new experiments on expanding the business to areas which we don't master. I think that's quite clear. Then the last point on my personal situation, yes, I'm going to be 60 next year, and the question is open. I still feel personally this is a lot of fun doing, and as long as that is the case, I will continue if I'm allowed to do so. So of course, this is something that board is considering, and we'll have to wait and see. And if there is a change to that, we will address and tell the market, of course. So today, no news on that point.
Okay, thank you. And about sort of potential non-core areas of your operations?
Well, that was, in a way, part of the first part. Is that,
okay.
That if we sell it, we will give the money back.
Okay, very clear.
I think that's perhaps enough today on that point.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Eduardo Spina. Please announce your company and ask your question.
Yeah. Hello, good morning. This is Eduardo Spina from Morgan Stanley. I have a question actually on China, a few questions there. I was interested in understanding what type of business you are building in China, if it's predominantly winter or you're looking at different segments. If you can give us any indication of the numbers, perhaps if you have maybe on the market, especially if you are into winter, and what Nokian is today and where you would like to be in 2 or 3 years. And lastly, you mentioned the use of cash and a potential plant, if I understood correctly, third plant in Eastern Europe. Would China fit a reasonable expansion plan that you have, or is it outside, say, the boundaries of core Nokian business? Thank you.
Well, the winter tire market in China is smaller than the Scandinavian winter tire market. It's actually roughly the size of Sweden today, and it's mainly done in two provinces. And those are the areas where we have distribution and where we are developing our presence. To build a factory in China with our business model, like focusing on winter tires and premium, is today not feasible. So I don't see that happening, at least during the next 2 to 3 years. We've had production in China through contract manufacturing already for many years, off and on, and that continues presently. What we sell in China today is mainly winter tires, and mainly to those two provinces in the north. So the rest of the Chinese market, I don't see to be that interesting. And today, the production capacity in China is twice the market in passenger car tires, and most of the operators are not making any sensible profits. And so that is not something that we feel is attractive and why we haven't been very active later on. So my regards to you in Shanghai, and hope that you have a good stay there.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Thomas Besson. Please announce your company and ask your question.
Thanks. It's Thomas Besson at Kepler Cheuvreux. Two questions, please. One on winter tires. You make some comments about a big decline in the sell-in market in Europe. Just wanted to have some clarification about where you see winter tire inventories at dealer level in Europe today in April. And also make sure that I understand correctly, the sell-in business in Western Europe is right more between June and September than in Q1. That's the first question. The second question is about your working capital. Your level of inventories has dropped. You seem to be happy with it. Can you confirm that? And would you expect the inventory in euros to drop more meaningfully by the year end?
First of all, If we look at the inventory level in Central Europe and winter tires, our view is, I don't have exact numbers for you. There are quite a lot of estimates flying around at the moment. But we feel that the winter tire inventory, which is at the moment with wholesalers on main markets, is significantly lower than a year ago during this time. and but there is still some compared to a healthy situation. So our estimate on winter tire sales for the consumer market is that it will be flat to a couple 1-2% increase compared to last year, which was then, of course, that will be Q4, and whether there's winter or not will be decisive on that point. Sell-in, we feel, is going to be higher this year, slightly higher than last year, because of the comparison base for last year being so low. But sell-in for this year being below 2011. That's the inventory side. Then working capital and inventory, of course, a big factor in that is the raw material prices going down, which has an impact both on raw material inventory value and also on the finished goods value, which we actually value at production cost, not sales cost. So that has an impact. So in absolute terms, there's been some reduction. In fact, we are now looking at building some inventory for the winter tire season in order to catch up with the seasonality after a fairly like slow production in Q1. We need to ramp up and also build some inventory. So we expect Q2 sales to be up, but production levels be even more up than sales, as we need to prepare for the season, as you correctly stated, for June, September being decisive for CE and also the Nordic countries.
All right. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you, Thomas.
Once again, that was star 1 to ask a question.
It would seem that we have answered all the questions, so everybody are more or less happy, and we can close the meeting. Thank you for participating, and see you again later during this year. Thank you.